Let's start out by looking at, now it says subject, Jesus in the Old Testament, thanksgiving, is what it may say in your bulletin, but the chapters that I am going to be looking at this morning are from the Psalms, Psalms 22, 41, 42, and 43 probably too. But before we go to those Psalms, let's start reading from Mark, the book of Mark, chapter 15. And I want to look at, we'll start at verse 25. You know, this morning, and when we gather together in worship, as we take the bread and the cup, we remember those symbols remind us of Jesus' death. So this is what we're going to read of a little this morning. We're going to read, start at verse 25. Let's start at Mark chapter 15, verse 25. Now it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And we're talking of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And the inscription above, inscription of his accusation was written above, "The King of the Jews." And with him they also crucified two robbers, one on his right hand and one on his left. So the scripture was fulfilled, which says he was numbered with the transgressors. Those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." Likewise, the chief priests also mocking him, mocking among themselves with the scribes, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Let the Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. Even those who were crucified with him reviled him. And now when it was the sixth hour, when the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. My understanding of what that time frame is, is the sixth hour was 12 noon to the ninth hour was 3 p.m. If I believe that's when that was, because the hour started at 6 a.m. So it was the sixth hour was noon, the ninth hour was 3 p.m. Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Have you ever felt that bad, completely forsaken? What I want us to think about is who Jesus was and why he was, what he did for us as a righteous sufferer, the one who had no sin. But also look at how this these words which he said came to him. Let's now look at the Psalms, and let's start with Psalm 22. So we've just heard the children say a verse that they memorized, the verses and chapters that they memorized. What was Jesus saying on the cross when he says the first verse of Psalm 22? My God, why have you forsaken me? Think about Christ in his life. Who he was, he is God. He is God incarnate. He gave David these words. Would it make sense that they come to him at his greatest suffering moment? As he's taking your sins, my sins, the sins of the whole world, those who have all passed before us, those who are all to come, and he's taking that load on himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the sacrifice. And now because he is now taking on that sin, he is unable to have the relationship with the Father because there can be no sin there. And so he is feeling truly, truly forsaken. Let's read Psalm 22, though. Because David, who wrote these Psalms, how did these words come to him? How did these thoughts come to him? He was a man who had seen a lot, had come through many struggles and trials and highs and lows in his life. So let's read what he is writing here. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and I'm not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you, they trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm, no man, a reproach of men, and despised by the people. All who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have seen my God. You have been my God. Be not far from me. For trouble is near. There is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. And my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, from my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you who you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born, that he has done this. So in Psalm 22, we see so much of a picture of what was going to happen to Christ on the cross. I just wonder how how David, how these thoughts came to him, how he could feel so totally drained and down and out of so much things. I mean, I know Some of us go through some very hard things, and some of us which we have seen in our own lives right now are going through really tough times. Yet, you wonder when you're going through it, is this really, am I in the way that what the Lord wants me to be doing? And I think of the verse, count it all joy when you go through trials and temptations. It's hard. It's hard sometimes to do that. I think of David when he writes this. Well, I think of my father, actually. My father was very aware and familiar with mood swings and changes, because my mother was clinically, the term is called manic depressive. And she, before they had medications and things for that, it was, man, you saw some highs and lows and highs and lows. And it was tough at times. But my dad recognized that. And I think one of the things he recognized when he looks at the writings of David in the Psalms is that David would put in words what he saw my mother was physically and mentally going through. Just incredible highs and just depths of despair and depression. It was so hard. And he got it. And he got it. And he loved her. And he took care of my mom. And he just loved her despite all that. But he recognizes that in the writings of David, he had said to me, and maybe you, Laura, at times, he thought maybe David was a manic depressive, because when he saw the way he wrote these incredible glories that he saw of the Lord, yet he had these horrible feelings of, you know, look, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Who would write this? Who would write this? But maybe you've been there. Maybe you've felt that. Maybe you've thought, the Lord, how are you going to help me? What am I going to do? But turn your heart to him. Remember, look what he said. Remember what he does for the people who love him, who are firm and strong in your faith to the Lord. You may feel like you're surrounded with just enemies around you, all around you. Many things just all encircling you, and you feel like there's no way out. There is a way out. And you fall. And he makes us fall to our knees. He makes us fall to our knees before him and look to him for guidance, for prayer. It's tough. One of the things I know that I have missed and haven't done it, but we're planning a hike in the fall. Getting away from it all and turning this cell phone thing off. You know, you have to get away. And I think that's one thing I see that Jesus did. How many times did he go off by himself for times of prayer? And I'm sure David was well aware of his need for being off and having that private time alone, away from the hustle and bustle of everything, and getting away from it all. There was a time, I remember particularly a hike that I went on with Charles, and it was when my father was alive. He took us, it was out near Greenwood Hills, and we drove somewhere where we could get onto the Appalachian Trail. And it was gray and rainy, and as we're getting out of the car, we're putting our packs on, and I see there's an old copy of the New York Times on the floor of the back seat. I say, can I have that, Dad? And I took it, and it wasn't for reading. It was for fire starting. And I grabbed that and stuck it under my raincoat, and we hiked up into this, and we got to a shelter. And I mean to tell you, it is, you know, you think, when you, I remember this because I think of dark times, and when you go through dark times in your life, but when there's no light, there's no clouds roll in, there's no sun, no moon, no stars, nothing, and you're away from everything. You can hold your hand this far from your face, and you can't see it. It's like going into a closet with no light, and it was that pitch dark. But we got a fire going in the rain, and what a blessed time it was. And then when the fire faded, and we were sitting and we were praying, and to have that just alone time with the Lord, it was two of us, but just praying and just pouring out our hearts to the Lord. I mean, you know, it's very special to just put everything away sometimes. And I think that's what we see when words like this are written that we're reading in the Psalms. They come from taking time alone, away from everything, TV off, everything gone. Go into your bedroom, whatever you need to do, and just pour out your heart to the Lord and let him really minister to you and read his word. Just read. He will not let his word return void. So if you open your Bible and read wherever you need to, if you think of a psalm will comfort you, go to a psalm. If you think Judy will comfort you as she carries the baby out on her shoulder, there goes the crying baby. No, it's the Lord will comfort, you know. That's what he hears us. He hears our cries like that. Just what we heard there, the little baby crying, that's what it probably sounds like to the Lord. You know, we're just so small and so weak compared to his greatness. But he knows how to take that and take whatever our heart's desire is, whatever we have that is burning within us, that is bothering us and taking us down. He can help us with it. And he is so faithful and so true. Getting together like we did this morning to break bread, worship him, and remember him. Again, special time just to watch his Holy Spirit work not just in my own heart and the hearts, but through all our hearts as we gather together. What a great family we have here of brothers and sisters in Christ that we can look to each other, help each other, turn to each other. We're here because we know and love the Lord and we love to meet together and worship him. Let's help each other too. As he helps us, let's help each other. Okay, let's turn now over to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him in the bed of his illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. The first verse, though, there. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him, verse 2, and keep him alive, and he will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. And I was thinking about our prayer request list on the back here that we in our bulletin as we look at these things. And some of those who need work and need jobs and need have needs. The Lord will not deliver you to the will of your enemies. He is so faithful. He's provided for us. I think, I don't see Carlos here, but I know Carlos, you know, it's tough for him. He had a real job dilemma where he was given a contract and work, and then it turned into something else, and it was like, well, now what is he going to do? Here he thought he had taking care of his business and his family, and it turned completely against him. But the Lord did not leave him. He delivered him in his time of trouble and helped him and gave him other work. And I just think of how the Lord has done that for so many of us in our times of trouble. And then when we're ill, the Lord will strengthen him on the bed of his illness and will sustain him on his sick bed. That story of Adam this morning, man, over at Bryn Mawr rehab and center. What a great thing. He's not only sustaining him, he's making him a light in a place where people need light. They need encouragement. And here's a young man who has been hit with something hard and hit and could be knocked down and could be taken and completely discouraged, but he's taken it and not only sustained him on his sick bed, he's been merciful to him, as it says in verse 4. Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul. I feel like Adam's soul is being healed and strengthened almost through this when I hear the stories of what's going on. Let's take and read verse chapter 41. Again, all the way. Psalm 41, we'll read 41, and then 42 and 43. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will help and will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. You will not deliver him to his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness. You will sustain him on his sick bed. I said, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against you. My enemies speak evil of me. When will he die? When will his name perish? And if he comes to me, he speaks lies. His heart gathers iniquity to himself. When he goes out, he tells it. All who hate me whisper together against me. Against me they devise my hurt. An evil disease, they say, clings to him. And now that he lies down, he will rise up no more. Even my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be merciful to me and raise me up. Then I will repay them. But this I know, that you are well pleased with me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. As for me, you uphold me in my integrity. You set me before your face forever. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen. Let's keep going with Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, as my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. I'm going to stop there for a minute. You see this, and as you look at this psalm, he goes through how he desires for the Lord, how he remembers the Lord, and what he's done for him. Yet he thinks of, we're thinking of how our soul feels when we're down and disquieted and hurting. I remember when I was going through a really tough time in my own life, and I thought, what is wrong with me? What is wrong with me? And I went across the street to the parking lot and literally just thought, well, I just need to run. And I physically couldn't make my legs move to run. And I ran track all through high school and college. And I was like, what is wrong with me? How deep is this feeling, this weight that you can get of not knowing, of feeling separated from this amazing God? And I knew the God was there. I knew he was going to watch over me. Yet this weight of just not knowing what is wrong with me. I was experiencing some severe depression issues. I was. And I see when David gets this way, he's like, why are you so cast down? Why are you cast down on my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? He's just, that's, you get those questions inside. Remember, hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He is there through it all. There through it all. We go through so many things in our lives that are so disturbing and disquieting, but He will be there for you. Let's read Psalm 43 now. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man, for you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? There's these verses here and some of these other ones. Well, let's finish the chapter. I'm sorry. Let's keep going. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of mine enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. I wasn't sure if I wanted to go onto this, but I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 27 and verse 46. I hope this is... I made the right note here. Matthew 27. Yep. And verse 46. Nope, that's not where I wanted, but that's okay. That was back to the first chapter. Let me find the section. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 26, verse 38. Matthew 26, verse 38. Let's start at verse 36. If we wonder if Jesus knows these tough feelings we have, where we feel like maybe we're lost and there's no hope, and you're feeling like, just what is wrong with me? He's been there. He's been so deeply distressed that it's hard to understand almost what he's saying here. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. So they have celebrated the Passover. Jesus has instituted what we celebrate as the Lord's Supper, where he says, take this bread, it's my body given for you. Take this cup, it's my blood given for you, as a representation given for you. And he knows what's about to happen to him, because he is our Lord, and he knows all time. And he's now gone to the garden, and he's going to pray, and he knows he's about to be betrayed and have to go through this death. So Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, verse 36, Matthew 26, 36, and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. He knows he's been there. And he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me. He's sorrowful even to death, even though he knows he's going, if he knows what's going to happen to him. Does he know? He sees this man, this God, man being, this Jesus that we know and we love and we remember and we worship. He knows what's going to happen to him. But how can he be sorrowful unto death? When we have sorrows and struggles in our lives, and we see people who go that deep and that have, you know, I feel bad for some of my children. My son Matt has more friends that have passed away than I do. because they felt this sorrowful even unto death and have taken their own lives. What a sad, horrible thing to go through. Our Lord and Savior has been to that point. He knows what it is to be sorrowful and grieved and vexed unto death. He's been there, and he can help you get out of that if you've been there. He says it here, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. What an amazing Savior we have that knows the depths of our sorrows, has been there, and then went on and took that burden. So I know that my relationship with my dad, I felt was pretty good, and especially at the end, I was able to spend a lot of time with him. And then when he passed, I knew it wasn't the end. I was going to be with him again because he went to be with the Lord. I knew where he went, where he was going. Jesus, when he went to the cross, I think maybe one of the reasons he was so sorrowful, even unto death, is because he knew what was about to happen was he was going to take my sin. I hadn't been born yet, hadn't come around. There's people still to be born. He took their sin. He took everybody's sin. And he took that on himself. Well, if he takes on that sin, he can't be and have a relationship with the Father. We can't have a relationship with the Father if we're carrying the burden of sin. Jesus took that. He took that sin on him, and he took him to a place where he had to be, what we read in that first psalm. My God, why have you forsaken me? He couldn't be with the Father if he was carrying this load of sin. So he had to take that sin and separate it as far as the east is from the west and just take it away. He's done that for us. But he's also done it. We have it recorded. And to me, it's recorded there, so it helps me in my times of trouble. He is an amazing, amazing Savior who has taken and seen. He's taken our sins. Anyway, let's finish and read Psalm 43. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of mine enemy? Oh, send out your light, your truth. Let them lead me. We need the light and the truth of his word to lead us. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God with exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. He is there. He's always there for us. And we're blessed to know him and to be able to praise him and have a relationship with him because of the work he did on the cross. It's amazing to think of just these few verses here that we've read in Psalms and the many others, prophetic words of Christ's death and his resurrection in the Old Testament. But it's good to just look at these things and be aware of them. It's to you, and we think of you as our, not just our Savior and King, but truly as our friend and one that we can come to, our Abba Father, or the one that we can throw our arms around and come to in times of trouble, in times of joy, in times of trial. Just thank you so much, Lord, for who you are, for showing yourself not only to us, but for the generations that were even before you, for showing yourself and revealing yourself. Thank you, Lord, that you are revealing yourself to so many people who are unable to even have your word in their hands, Lord. You're revealing yourself to Muslims and people who shouldn't even have no way of knowing of you. We thank you for this, Lord, for your revelation. And we thank you for what you did when you came to this earth, born of a Virgin Mary, came here, served, and made yourself known to us, was crucified, and then risen on the third day, Lord. What a blessing it is to know you, to know a risen Savior, to know that we have life eternal through you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Just bless us as we depart today. Bless our families and our loved ones, Lord. Thank you so much for the family of believers that we have here in this small church here in Malvern. But thank you that we are part of a body of believers that covers the whole earth, Lord. And that you have made, this is all made possible, Lord, through your saving grace, the work that was done on the cross. We thank you for that, Lord. Bless us as we depart, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.